This is Ham College, episode 119, for December 6, 2024. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. This holiday season, let your passion for communication shine bright with ICOM's industry-leading ham radios. Greetings and welcome to another lecture or class or episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
We've got questions tonight off the amateur technician exam.
And we got answers.
Few.
Random.
Oh, we do, yes. We're enlisting the help of random intelligence tonight. We're going to be using a little Arduino project that I showed on the last Amateur Logic that'll randomly generate a guess.
Kind of like how it works with us, too.
Quite often. We're just going to try it and see as we go tonight how the Arduino scores there on the test, if it does better than us.
So if you're going to go take your test, if you need to build George's project or not before you go. I don't think you can take an Arduino in for the test.
Probably not. I don't know.
The noise would be a dead giveaway, too.
Well, yeah. It'd be hard to hide. You'd have to unplug your medicine bottle speaker for that. What did we talk about in the last episode?
That's a good question. Could have been control operator stuff, eligibility, designating privileges, duties, location, required control point, control types, automatic and remote ones.
Okay. This month we're going to talk about station identification, repeaters, third-party communications, club stations, and FCC inspection. But most of it, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to be about station identification.
Overwhelming
majority. Yep. So
that's why we're going to have a big time.
Well, first question tonight, I think I took the last one, the first one, last time.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It seems like a setup, but go ahead and hit me.
Oh.
Let me be careful of my choice of words. You guys are my witness.
Yeah.
If you're watching the live stream, you're not in the chat room, you're missing half the fun.
And the question is,
which half? But we hadn't said that in a while, so I figured it was past due.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's correctly identified the answer to that yet either.
So that's for each of you to figure out on your own.
Okay. First question tonight, when must the station and its records be available for FCC inspection? A, at any time 10 days after notification by the FCC of such an inspection.
B, at any time upon request by an FCC representative.
C, at any time after written notification by the FCC of such inspection.
Or D, only when presented with a valid warrant by an FCC official or government agent. I'm going to go ahead and strike D from the list of choices right there because I don't think they do warrants.
Yeah, probably not.
C, at any time after written notification. That's not going to be written. They're not going to send you something in writing that they're going to come inspect you, I don't believe. B, at any time upon request by an FCC representative. That seems plausible. At any time. A is any time 10 days after notification. Yeah. I'm going to go on with B for this one. So they could just pop in on an inspect your station. So you don't have time to hide all your 5 kW linears or whatever you got in there.
Yeah, true. I'm going to agree with you. It's B. The whole chat room agrees with you.
Way to go, guys.
Yeah, let's see what random girls, intelligence says over here. It said C, so no dice on that one.
Okay.
We'll have to see. I may have to work on the algorithm a little bit.
The voice detection stuff's probably not working in there, so it may not have heard the question good.
Could. There you go.
Did you have the microphone hooked up?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
There you go.
There you go. All right.
How often must you identify with your FCC-assigned call sign when using tactical call signs such as Race Headquarters? A. Never. The tactical call is sufficient.
B. Once during every hour.
C. At the end of each communication and every 10 minutes during a communication.
Or D. At the end of every transmission. A, never, the tactical call is sufficient. No. B, once an hour. No, you got to identify more than that. D, at the end of every transmission. Well, if you listen to some people on HF, you would think that was the case. But it's not. And not everybody does that, but some people do. I want to say it's C, at the end of each communication and every 10 minutes during a conversation.
Okay. Have you ever heard anybody use a tactical call? Race Headquarters, such as that? I've never heard of. I hear people from the weather station, but they have a assigned call.
Maybe.
I don't know that I've ever heard that.
I might have heard it once.
I would think if it's just my opinion, I would assume if it's a valid call, then you don't have to call ID with your own. But I can't really think of an example of it.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Like if I'm working severe weather, using WX5JAN like they use there, then I don't really have to tell them I'm also in 5ZNO.
No.
That's how I'm reading it. I don't know what the tactical call actually is.
Yeah, I'm thinking what they're talking about in that example is a race. Not races. So that would be like, I don't know, maybe you had a bicycle race or something going, and you had amateur operators out there assisting, which they often do in that type of thing. And, you know, maybe they use a call sign and then throw that at the end of it for the headquarters, the main honcho. And then everybody else says, some call sign. But anyway, that regardless, the answer is C. I believe the answer is C.
Okay.
They do on StormNet tactical call by position. Okay. Yeah. If you're working a race, your tactical might be a mile marker. Good.
Oh.
Is the objective to get the Arduino licensed? Jeff, I don't know. We'll see how it does. Yeah.
I'm thinking it might need some upgrades, though.
Yeah.
See.
We're batting 50% there.
So is this thing going to draw C every time? It's got 25% chance of getting it right.
Yeah. It's got 75% chance of getting it wrong.
I know. That's not good odds.
No, it's not. When are you required to transmit your assigned call sign? A, at the beginning of each contact and every 10 minutes thereafter.
B, at least once during each transmission.
C, at least every 15 minutes during and at the end of the communication.
Or D, at least every 10 minutes during and at the end of a communication. Okay, when are you required to transmit your assigned call sign? At the beginning of each contact and every 10 minutes? No, you don't really have to do at the beginning every time. I mean, when you make the call, you kind of assume because you're calling both call signs, W5JDX and 5ZNO.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
No, you don't have to, but that's typically the protocol.
Yeah.
At least once during each transmission. That's not true, although I've heard people do that. C, at least every 15 minutes. That's too far apart. I'm going with D, at least every 10 minutes during and at the end of the communication. That's my final answer.
I and D. Everyone in the chat room agree with you.
Hey.
It's not doing so good.
Well, it's just getting warmed up.
Okay.
It's the learning algorithm's picking this up as it's going along.
At least every 10 minutes during and at the end of the communication. You don't have to do it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And people do, usually. Yeah. But you don't have to, and every now and then you'll hear somebody not do it, and somebody will challenge them on it, and they'll tell them no. And then that'll, you know, that's good for at least a 10 or 15 minute argument right there till somebody finally looks it up. Interesting note here, and don't get this mixed up with your test here for amateur, but in broadcasting, when I got in the early 70s, we had to ID every 30 minutes. And then a number of years later, they changed that to once an hour, as close to the top of the hour as practical during a break in programming. So on a radio station, you only have to do it once an hour near the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to do one other thing that we don't have to do. They have to say their city of license.
Oh. Interesting. So,
you know, you'd say the call sign and Jackson or wherever you're licensed to. Don't have to do that in amateur.
That makes sense, I guess.
Yep. I don't know. I thought they should have kept it at 30 minutes because really, you know, you got to wait a whole hour to find out.
Yeah. What about television?
Same deal.
Just at the top of the hour?
Just at the top of the hour. Mm-hmm.
What language may you use for identification when operating in the phone subband? A, any language recognized by the United Nations.
B, any language recognized by the ITU.
C, English.
Or D, English, French, or Spanish.
Where's Klingon?
What language may you use for identification when operating in a phone subband? C, English. You're being licensed in the United States, and that's the primary language. And I am not sure if the call sign would be any different in French or Spanish. Let's see what Arduino says. D, not doing so good there.
Okay, we've got one right. That's the 25% rule.
C, English. What method of call sign identification is required for station transmitting phone signals? A, send the call sign followed by the indicator RPT.
B, send the call sign using a CW or phone emission.
C, send the call sign followed by the indicator R.
Or D, send the call sign using only a phone emission. And followed by the indicator RPT. That's not correct. And followed by the indicator R is not correct either. Send the call sign using a phone emission. That is perfectly acceptable, but so is CW. I know for sure that's right. So this is going to be B. B Bravo.
B, that's what most of them are saying in the chat room there.
Let's see what Arduino, Mr. Arduino.
Okay.
Got to say about the matter.
D.
I don't have much faith in that thing, man.
You said B?
I did.
You're correct.
Which of the following self-assigned indicators are acceptable when using a phone transmission? A, KL7CC stroke W3.
B, KL7CC slant W3.
Or C, KL7CC slash W3.
Or D, all these choices are correct. Which of the following self-assigned indicators are acceptable when using a phone transmission? I've heard slash used before.
I've heard stroke.
Stroke. Slant. I think you could pretty much say whatever you wanted to there. I think it's D. All of these choices are correct.
I think you're right.
So it's a chat room is saying, But, you know, you can't trust any of us. So.
And you got it right, too.
Yes. We all got it right. All right. So it did a little better on that one. And I might as well save this 9-volt battery, huh? I think we've proved that's not really going to.
Yeah, you probably out. You might want to build this project from the last show, but you may not want to take it to the test with you.
No.
It's fun to try it, though.
Yeah, it was.
It's random, so it could have actually gotten every single one of them right, which is, it could have. It's highly unlikely, but it could have.
You never know.
If it does, you go buy yourself a lottery ticket, too, because it's your real lucky day.
Take that with you when you go. Which of the following restrictions apply when a non-licensed person is allowed to speak to a foreign station using a station under the control of a licensed amateur operator? A, the person must be a U.S. citizen.
B, the foreign station must be in a country with which the U.S. has a third-party agreement.
C, the licensed control operator must do the station identification.
Or D, all these choices are correct. I don't think it's not going to be D, I don't think, because I don't think you have to be a U.S. citizen if you have a license.
It's a non-licensed.
Oh. Yeah, I still don't think it matters. As long as the control operator's license. B, foreign stations must be in a country with which the U.S. has a third-party agreement. Or C, license control operators do the station. I think it's going to be B. I'm not 100% sure on this one, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be B. The foreign station must be in a country with which the U.S. has a third-party agreement.
We're getting C's and B's on this one.
The following restrictions apply when a non-licensed person is allowed to speak to a foreign station, the station under the control.
I think it's B. Okay. We're not even going to bother asking Arduino this time.
I'm not. Okay, so I'm going to quit keeping score then.
Okay.
Your dentist doesn't clean your teeth with a toothbrush. Why should you? Introducing Mr. Dentist. With your favorite toothpaste, Mr. Dentist helps remove unsightly tobacco and coffee stains. Mr. Dentist comes with a flashlight dental mirror, and now for the first time at home, you can see all the cleaning that has to be done. Its rotary action really does the job. If you brush your teeth this way, it's wrong. But with Mr. Dentist, you can't go wrong. Its low-torque motor drives the cleaning head to help give you cleaner and whiter teeth. Now you can clean your child's teeth so easily, and youngsters will clean their teeth more often because it's really fun to use. Mr. Dentist is safe for dentures and bridge work. Buy a separate Mr. Dentist for your dog, and his teeth will sparkle too. Mr. Dentist comes with two separate cleaning heads, the flashlight dental mirror, and Pearl Drops tooth polish. Makes the perfect Christmas gift, and it's only $19.95.
This holiday season, let your passion for communication shine bright with ICOM's industry-leading ham radios. Celebrate the spirit of the season with reliable performance, cutting-edge technology, and the unmatched clarity that makes ICOM a gift worth giving. On the road, ICOM's handheld radios offer reliable performance, long battery life, and clear signal quality. Built tough for outdoor use and emergencies, ICOM keeps casual and serious operators connected wherever you go. The ID50A provides hours of VHF, UHF fun and enjoyment. Beginners will love the easy D-Star settings, band scope with waterfall display, voice messaging, and share picture function. The ID52A is the first dual-band handheld with a full-color 2.3-inch waterfall display. Conventional FM and D-Star simplex, repeater, regional, and worldwide calls over the D-Star Internet Gateway. The IC705 and IC7300 are the go-to rigs for outdoor hams who love POTA and SOTA activations. Both radios feature a large color touchscreen with real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display for intuitive function and setting operation. The IC705 provides big radio features and performance in the palm of your hand. Enjoy HF to 50, 144, and 440 megahertz with D-Star, SSB, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM modes. The IC7300 is an industry first to use RF direct sampling in an entry-level HF radio. This high-performance radio has class-leading RMDR and phase noise characteristics and a built-in automatic antenna tuner. The IC7300 will far exceed your expectations. The real HF fun starts here. Or upgrade your station to one of ICOM's premium HF radios. With the IC7610, faint signals are no longer challenging for DXers and contesters. Pick out the faintest signals even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. This is the SDR every ham wants. The new IC7760 offers a modern connected system with a separate remote control head and RF deck linked via a standard LAN cable for more flexible installation. Place the RF deck closer to the antenna feed point, freeing up space on your desk. You can even connect the control head to the RF deck through your home network, enabling remote operations from anywhere your home without a PC. The ICPW2 is the perfect power addition to your base station. Take your contesting experience to the next level. The ICPW2 is a perfect, powerful addition to your base station. Take your contesting experience to the next level with ICOM's industry-first linear amplifier with included digital pre-distortion and a built-in 2x6 automatic antenna selector for single-operator to radio operation. For more information about ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
The dog sounded like he wanted his teeth cleaned.
I don't think so. And that first one, man, that sounded like, that was a grinder.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you don't have to clean them very often, then. A couple times, you're done.
Yeah. I don't have to worry with them anymore.
That was pretty funny. We were in tears over here watching that stuff.
Yeah, I forgot about the dog.
That was the best part.
Yeah. What do you say we give away something?
How about this beautiful ICOM Ham Crew t-shirt? Look just as good when you're leaving the ham fist as you did when you got there.
Wow.
That's what I always say, like always.
So if we wanted to win that, it's easy enough. We can go to Ham. Well, we don't go there. Send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv with your name. And that's, you don't have to have a call sign.
You just got to have an email and a name.
Yep. An email so that you can send us one and we can reply to you.
You're probably going to want an address so it can be shipped to you from ICOM, but we don't have to have it.
No, we'll get that if you win. We'll send you an email and put you in touch with ICOM, and they'll get that. But we don't save these names, so after each contest, we throw them all away. So if you're watching now, it would be a good time. Just send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv, and you can stick a message in there if you would like to. And I think this month's winner had a small message in there, didn't
it? It said, great show this evening. And that was from Greg Lopez, KT4RAM. Congratulations, Greg. You won. And ICOM will be getting in touch with you to get your information to ship your shirt and whatever else they throw in the bag or box.
Cool.
Probably not shipping bags these days.
And you just saw a winner recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Met a guy that won one of these. And I went to the Slido Ham Fest. So it'd be you'll see him on my segment in Amateur Logic coming up in a couple weeks.
We'll be looking for that. Speaking of the Amateur Logic coming up in a couple of weeks, I guess we ought to try to pick a date. Is that going to be the 13th or the 20th?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
It's going to be either the 13th or the 20th.
All right. We'll get back with you on that. In the meantime, once we decide, we'll post it around.
So I'm okay with everyone myself.
Yeah, 13th, I mean, that's like next week, so we've got a lot to do between now and then. But, we'll let everybody know through all the normal methods there. We got more questions.
What are the normal methods that you mentioned that?
Well, you know, there are several normal methods. Facebook.com/group/HamCollege or /AmateurLogic.
Oh, yeah, you can also follow us on Ham College or Amateur Logic on Twitter and get information from there.
Yeah, or you can join our groups.io group. It's groups.io/g/AmateurLogic.
Yeah.
Well, if you got any questions?
You got any answers?
We'll see. Arduino doesn't have any more because I pulled the plug on him.
What is the definition of third-party communications? A, a message from a control operator to another amateur station control operator on behalf of another person.
B, amateur radio communications where three stations are in communication with one another.
C, operation when the transmitting equipment is licensed to a person other than the control operator.
D, temporary authorization from an unlicensed person to transmit on the amateur band for technical experiments. What's the definition of third-party communications? A, a message from a control operator to another amateur station or another station control operator on behalf of another person. We'll see on that one. B, amateur radio communications where three stations are in communication with one another. It's not that. C, operation when the transmitted equipment is licensed to a person other than the control operator. Nah, I don't think so. D, temporary authorization for an unlicensed person to transmit on amateur bands for technical experiments. No, that's, there's no such thing as that. So I'm going to go back to, I'm going to say a message from a control operator to another amateur station control operator on behalf of another person.
I'll buy that.
Sound good?
On behalf of a third party?
Yep. That's what the chat room's saying.
Yeah. They're right.
Yep.
Gotta be. I don't think I gave you one of those yet.
I haven't got, you know, I've been. That's why I've been
what happened?
All choked up a while ago, man.
I don't know what happened.
I was feeling rejected.
Passing them out, but not getting none of them back.
Yeah. What type of amateur station simultaneously retransmit the signal of another amateur station on a different channel or channels? A, a beacon station.
B, earth station.
C, repeater station.
Or D, message forwarding station. Type of amateur station simultaneously retransmits the signal of another amateur station on a different channel or channels. I'm going to go straight for the answer on this one. I'm going with C, repeater station.
I'm going to agree with you just like everyone in the chat room does. Makes sense. It's repeating.
Simultaneously. Yep. Simultaneously. Yep. So the frequency comes in, the communication comes in on one frequency, goes out on another frequency, mm-hmm. shifted.
And, you know, for those that are just, you know, looking into getting licensed right now, what would be the benefit of that? Why would you want to do that?
Well, because you can have a repeater with an antenna somewhere, more, maybe it's up on a hill, or maybe you got access to a tower somewhere. Maybe you know a guy that's got radio stations and may have antenna up by mm-hmm. a tower, so it'll transmit farther. So you can, the higher you are, typically, the better it hears and gets out because less obstacles.
Yeah.
And get more range.
So you can be running a penny whistle station or a handy talkie or something low power that can't hear very far, but going through that repeater. You know, you got whatever it can hear and talk to.
Yeah.
You're there. So, very handy. And that's one of the things you'll enjoy when you get licensed as a technician. Repeaters, just about anywhere you go, there's going to be a repeater. Now, how much use it gets?
Yeah, I'm sure it varies.
It varies.
Time. Drive times are usually pretty good, typically morning and evening drive times.
Yeah.
And they're also a good place to hang out in your community if you're just getting licensed, looking for people to talk to. Get go on to look up the repeaters in your area and hang out on there. You'll hear people. You might not hear a lot of people. It runs hot and cold here.
Yeah.
Drive time's typically when you hear the most.
Yeah. Also, there'll be nets on there, like maybe a weekly weather net where, you know, Ray sees or... Or Aries net.
Or a monthly logic net.
Multi, yeah. Something like that.
Could happen.
Yeah. And, you know, that'll be where people just gather together on a routine evening or day or whatever, at a specific time, and throw their call sign in there, get put in a log. So you'll know who's out there in an emergency.
Yeah.
Also, when there's bad weather. They'll activate nets on some repeaters.
So Skywarn nets.
Skywarn net, where you can go in and ask for weather reports in your area. And there are organizations you can join that, you know, will tell you what information they're looking for and kind of help you identify things like different sizes of hail and different wind speeds, one thing or another. Email, who was in the chat room earlier, is big into all of that. That's kind of why he got into amateur radio.
Actually, that's part of the reason I got in it, too. You can actually hear some of the people out giving weather reports before the Weather Service actually gets it or hear it at the time that they actually get it.
Also, once a month, and it's on the fourth Tuesday of every month, is that when we decided? But there won't be one in December because that falls during Christmas and New Year's. The fourth Tuesday of every month, there'll be a Logic Net, which is run by our friend Tom Apollinic, WA2IBD.
Who is accountable if a repeater inadvertently retransmits communications that violate the FCC rules? A. The control operator of the originating station.
B. The control operator of the repeater.
C. The owner of the repeater.
Or D, both the originating station and the repeater owner.
Huh.
Who is accountable if a repeater inadvertently retransmit communications that violate the FCC rules? Okay, it did it inadvertently, not on purpose. The control operator of the originating station or basically the control operator of the repeater or the owner of the repeater. Well, I would say the guilty party, the most guilty party would be the control operator of the originating station.
Yeah.
Now, would you drag the repeater owner in there too?
How could he monitor everything that's going on at the repeater 24/7, 7 days a week?
He's expected to be in control of it.
Yeah, he is.
I want to say A, just like everyone over in the chat room.
I don't see how you could hold a repeater owner responsible for what somebody got on there and started using profanity. Now, if he heard it, I'm sure they would shut it off.
If they have that capability.
Yeah, but, I mean... Yeah. But if there was a fine or something, I think it would probably go back to the control operator.
Of the originating station.
Yeah.
Okay. And?
Otherwise, I would never want to put a repeater up.
Although it would be a risky proposition, wouldn't it?
Yeah, most people in the repeaters are pretty well behaved, though, but.
Yeah.
But you never know. There's always going to be a chance.
One final question. Which of the following is a requirement for the issuance of a club station license grant? A, the trustee must have an amateur extra class operator license grant.
B, the club must have at least 4 members.
C, the club must be registered with the American Radio Relay League.
Or D, all these choices are correct. I don't think it's going to be D, because I don't think you have to be an extra class operator just to have a club call. Club must have at least 4 members, or the club must be registered with the... You don't have to register with the ARRL. So it's got to be B. The club must have at least 4 members. And I seem to remember something like that when we set our club up.
Yeah.
At least 4.
They're a little mixed in the answers in there, to be honest. But, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I believe it's B, since we just did one of those.
Well, a couple of years ago.
2, 3, yeah.
I've slept since then.
Me too. But I know it's not D, and ARRL's got nothing to do with it.
No.
And I don't think you have to be an extra.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's got to be right.
There you go. B. And that, my friends.
And not a single buzzer except for this guy, Mr. Arduino here.
He caught them all tonight, didn't he?
Thanks for running interference for us.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to improve his score. I don't know if maybe I should take out some of the answers.
Just have him pick B all the time or something? Let's see how that would have worked out.
Probably not so good. Or I could pre-program all the right answers in it before every show. But then
you would only have 4 right. So.
Yeah. Well, it was random intelligence. Thanks for being here, everyone. Join us on either December the 13th or the 20th. I'm leaning toward the 20th.
It's fine with me.
Because that gives us a couple of weeks to pull off what we need to pull off between now and then.
Yeah, I'm actually out of town next week, 13th. I could do the 13th, but it might be a little bit tough.
It is a Friday the 13th.
Oh, I could get my hockey mask back out.
Yeah.
I bought one just for the occasion.
I know.
I don't know if I can pass that up.
All right, we'll post around Facebook and X and Twitter and all of those things.
Yep. Same to everybody. Good night. Thanks for being here. We're really gone this time.
Yep. For sure.
Again.
We're not kidding either.
More 73.